It's time for the Rose Chat Podcast, a podcast dedicated to celebrating the world's most beloved flower, the rose. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleef and Teresa Byington as they chat with rose lovers and experts from around the globe. With each episode, you'll gain valuable knowledge and insights to achieve the rose garden you've always dreamed of. Listen now as we explore the world of roses.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Easy to brew and use on all indoor and outdoor plants. Find them online at manuretea.com.
You asked for it, you got it. Access the Rose Chat Podcast app from your iPhone or Android device. Find instructions at rosechatpodcast.com.
Matthias Mayon joins us today from his home in France to talk to us about the rich legacy of Mayon roses. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking me on the show.
Oh, absolutely. I know our listeners would love to hear about your family's rich rose history. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
It's starting 140 years ago, actually, with Joseph Rambeau, who was doing crosses at the Parc de la Tête d'Or in Lyon. He started with one variety that you must know, maybe in US, which is called Perle d'Or. And it came out really in 1891 in the Journal of Roses and the Journal of the Senate and Assembly of Legislature of the State of California.
So your family has been in this business for six generations. That's an amazing legacy that you all have. And while I think in the onset it was primarily in France and Europe, and then through a very special connection here in the United States, produced the Peace Rose. Can you tell us a little bit about how all that came to be?
Yeah, the Peace Rose is actually one of my my grandpa first crosses. It's 1935 approximately when he did the cross, and it's at the time that he did his first trip, round trip in the US, and we think he had the idea of doing the cross over there. He was meeting at Charles Malerin, Mr. Robert Pyle, in around 1933 for the first time, and that's where the told him that he should cross the U.S. and see the market over in the United States. And a few years after, the seedling arrived in U.S. and was under test at the Connell Pyle. And even though we didn't have any communication at that time because it was war, we kind of knew that it was coming out, and it was coming out as peace.
And, you know, I'm not sure you realize what a rich heritage that is for so many people around the world. Personally, when my mother passed away, I purchased a peace rose and planted it in my garden in her honor. And it stands there today as that symbol. And I hear stories everywhere that I travel in the U.S. of the very same thing. So, the creation of roses is serious business, but it's also a business of the heart as well. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, definitely. We always say that we are not only plant makers, we are doing emotion for garden.
Absolutely. So when you think about this rich history and how far you've come in six generations, you know, there's so much innovation happening in the rose industry today. And, you know, we see these disease-resistant hybrid teas, which is something that, you know, a few years ago we wouldn't even dream of. So can you tell us a little bit about, you know, how all that's coming about and the research that's going on to support that?
Yeah, it's It's a logic thing. I mean, we're facing questions, and most of the questions are coming from people that are using roses and from our competitors also and from the market itself. And those questions are more fragrance, more disease resistance, more blooms. And this is, you're going to say it's the same question over and over, but actually they're not. People are looking for different thing at different era. And the question was, can we get fragrance and also disease resistance? And that question is coming to be answered soon. We see, for example, Francis Meillon, that is the last ARS, and that has a great disease resistance and some fantastic perfume, and it's an IBT. There was the Sunshine Daydream, which was the former ARS, which didn't have perfume, but was a great resistance also for a grandiflora.
A grandiflora. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And so you can see that slowly that blood of disease resistance, and specifically for you, black spot disease resistance, because there's different type of disease resistance. You have to understand that in Europe, for example, it's less a problem of black spot. It's more a problem of early spring rust that we have. So that question is being answered slowly, for sure. But you're going to come with more and more and more hybrid tea with fragrance, easy to care, and this is resistant.
Well, I can attest to the disease resistance and beauty of the Francis Meillon rose that you just mentioned. We have three shrubs of that in our garden, and you know, I've been tweeting pictures the last couple of weeks of the blooms, and we had a group over here last weekend, and everyone just gravitated to that rose. It was amazing to see them put their nose in the rose, so to speak.
I saw the picture on Twitter. That was a great picture.
Yeah. And, you know, as we see roses like Delish that come on the market, you know, as you said, have that disease resistance and beautiful blooms too. You know, do you feel like that the market is shifting in that direction as a whole, or just more segments of it?
Oh, the market in U.S. is really clear. It's knockout. I mean, for the moment, it's really knockout. And it's fantastic. I mean, it's a fantastic rose, and I have it in my garden. I love it. I use it with my orange tree, actually. They are mixed with my orange tree, and they really do the job. They are blooming, and they're really a landscape rose that is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And there's the Drift also, that are really compact and floriferous, that are doing the job fantastically. But I think some people are asking for going back to traditional shape, which for me is funny because it's not really the real traditional shape of rose. Actually, the real traditional shape is more towards the Drift and the knockout rose. But they see that hybrid tea shape as traditional, and they would like to remember, you know, it's a, roses are, I don't know how you say it in English, because we have an expression in French, is the Madeleine, is a cookie that you bite, and the smell of that cookie reminds you of a past. Of the moment you had with your grandmother or something like that. And roses have that power also of reminding you of time before. And so people are looking for plants that they remember in the garden of their grandparents. That's what they're looking for also.
Absolutely. So you see in the American market as well as the European market those same trends happening. People wanting more of the classic rose form than the older garden rose type form?
The two markets are pretty different, I think. In the United States, the market is really directed towards plants that are easy to use. In Europe, there is, I think, a bigger diversity of breeder available. There is 19 breeder in France, 19.
Wow.
That's a lot of breeders. And overall in Europe, there must be 40 breeders proposing plants in different countries. So you have a diversity much more wider. And we propose actually 200 varieties on our catalog in France only.
Wow, that's a huge selection of roses. Makes my head swim to flip through your catalog. But wanted to ask you about a project that you've been working on, the Lyon 2015 project. And I think that's in conjunction. Is that with the World Federation of Rose meeting that's coming up?
Exactly. There's more than 75 Americans coming, 100 and something Australian. There must be something like 40 Japanese, 12 Chinese. People from all over the world actually coming in Lyon. It's 604 today that we know. And they're coming in Lyon for a week and a half for discussing roses. So there's 4 days of conferences and visits. For sure, there will be a visit of our field also. There's some visit of Old Rose Garden, private Old Rose Garden, and some public Old Rose Garden. And I think that's going to be a lovely time. They will elect, as usual, the Hall of Fame. You know that Meillon has four Hall of Fame, actually. Peace, that you know. Papa Meillon, that you know less in U.S., Bonica, that you know a lot, and Eden Rose, Pierre de Ronsard, that you know also in U.S. So for us, it's a really important thing that it is in Lyon, finally, because that's the place where we were born, and that's the place where modern rose were born. Actually, the breeding of the hybrid tea was done in Lyon, and the breeding of the yellow rose was done in Lyon. And after all the research on rose is done in Lyon still today for the research of the genomic of rose, it's Lyon the leading team doing the genomic of it.
Right. Now I have always heard that the yellow rose was the introduction to black spot.
It surely is. I was discussing with an old breeder, which is a friend of the family Laperriere. And he was telling me that the cross was bound to be a bad plant. And since that, we all using that blood for the yellow rose, and the yellow rose is difficult. But with Sunshine Daydream, we managed to have something with a better disease resistance, but I didn't tell him that secret.
Right. Now, so that's really a breakthrough of sorts for people, for those of us who love yellow roses. I think, you know, a lot of people love red, but yellow just does it for me. So I'm constantly looking for roses that are yellow in color and have terrific disease resistance. So I guess we're seeing sort of these roses become game changers in the rose world.
Yeah, but to become a game changer, they have to establish itself in the people's garden and in the people's heart. And that's what's really important. I mean, the last test, we're spending 10 years of tests on roses and testing them in Pennsylvania, tested them right now. Actually, my father is in California, and he was calling me a few minutes ago, and he was checking the varieties there in California. So we are doing a worldwide test, and then after we release it on the market. But the real test, the real last test that we are following is the people's garden. How does the rose handles everyday life with everyday people? Right. And that's what matters, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. If the rose grower doesn't love and appreciate that rose, then we've got to do something different. Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about some. I follow you all on Facebook, Twitter, all the social media outlets, and was looking at your website and your other social media presence, and noticed the beautiful displays that when you all appear at trade shows, it's just a magnificent display of roses. Several of us are curious how you guys achieve that.
Oh, it's just because we like it. I mean, we have to present our definitely. We have to present our roses. This is mostly roses for cut flower, those one. So it's a different trend, different market, and we really enjoy to expose it, to show it at the best of it. So we're making big bouquet. We're trying to have usually a color code of the year. Trying to show it at its best. So I love to take picture during those show because the name is put in big and the booth is really beautiful. So it's fun to do.
Well, is there anything else that you'd like our listeners to know?
Oh, we are proud actually that there's a new rose called Ice Cap coming in U.S. and it's the first co-breeding program between Bill Radler and the Mayon team, and it's plants and mother plants. So the father and the mothers are coming from both line of Radler and Mayon. And this is the first plant that will come out this year of Bill Radler and Mayon together as a joint. And that's really, really important for us because this is the first time that it happened in the history of Rose that two teams are getting together to produce a great plant. And we're really happy because we receive a great prize in France, which is the equivalent of the ERS in US, which is the Grand Prix of SNHF. Of the French Horticulture Society, and it means that in 7 gardens in France, it performed perfectly without any spray.
Wow, that's quite an achievement for a white rose in those growing conditions. You'd be definitely congratulated for that. Now, it's Ice Cap is the name here in the United States.
Yes, Ice Cap is the name in U.S. and in France, it will be called Crème Chantilly.
We will be we'll be watching for that rose to come on the market. Actually, I think I have received a shrub of that just in the last week or so to try. So I'm definitely excited about that.
That's why I can talk to you about it because I cannot talk to you of the next year plants, right. Which yet we know, but we cannot talk about it because we are pretty strict on protection of plant patent, and we cannot talk about plants that are not yet on the market simply because the patent will fall.
Exactly.
So we are really, really, really careful on that.
Well, thanks so much, Mathias, for joining us today and for sharing about your family's rich rose legacy.
Well, thank you very much for receiving me, and I was really happy to be able to talk.
You've been listening to the Rose Chat Podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington, expert rose gardeners who want to help you achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Don't miss an episode. Listen anytime on our website at rosechatpodcast.com or listen on the go via the Rose Chat app on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Share this podcast with your social networks and join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using the hashtag RoseChat. Join us next time for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. The Rose Chat Podcast is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.